Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So welcome to our lesson. I do apologize. Last week there was a cancellation quite late in the day. I do apologize for that in advance. I'll try and let you know if things are going to be delayed. But sometimes things are not in my control. So in the previous lessons we've covered off the khas. We've talked about the am. We've talked about the mushtarak. And we also talked about the mu'awwal. We introduced them, and we talked about the mutlaq and the muqayyad, which are types of khas. You should watch those videos where we can you'll get a good overview of them, inshallah ta'ala. In today's video, what I want to look at is the topic of word usage. Okay, so how words are used in particular. And if a word's used in its original meaning, what it was coined for, we call that haqiqa. Okay. Haqiqa basically means literal, if you want to use that word. If it's not used in that way, and it's used in some other meaning, we call it majaz. And majaz basically means a metaphorical use. Metaphorical use. Nice and straightforward. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. What we'll do in future lessons, just to kind of give you a heads up, if you like, is that if there is a meaning that's more obvious, so there's a more obvious meaning, right? And if that's the case, then we call it sarih. And if there is no obvious meaning, we call that kinaya. We'll come across all of this, inshallah ta'ala, in future videos, so you don't need to worry about them right now. What I want to cover today is introduce haqiqa and majaz. But remember, we're talking about how words are used. So just to give you an introduction. You have to look at a context of how the word's being used. So think about if somebody says, it's okay. That's all they say. So somebody says, it's okay. That's all they say. They don't really say anything much. How are we supposed to know what that means? Okay. Because okay means everything's okay. I'm happy and I'm not, you know, in any sort of agitation. But when somebody says it in a sense of like when they're angry, then it's clear that it's not the case. Things aren't normal. They've just said they're okay. Okay. Really what it means is they're not really okay. So do we take it as a literal meaning, as the haqiqa? So I'll use ha for the haqiqa, the literal meaning. Or do we take the majaz meaning? And so we have to understand how words are used to be able to understand which path we take. Okay. And so haqiqa is every word that's been designated for a specific item. And majaz is when it's used for some other meaning. That's not haqiqa meaning. So when a word is coined, it means that a word is assigned to an item or to an understanding, is that there's no indicator. So when a word is coined, it means that a word is assigned to an item or to an understanding in such a manner that no other indicator is needed, right? So this is when you get to haqiqa. There's nothing telling you that it means something else, okay? And that will be the literal or haqiqa word. Now, if the word is used in a way that's not that it was not originally coined for, if you like, it's been used. This is a key word. It's been used. Okay. So how is it being used? This is a question you always have to ask yourself. How is it being used? If it's not being used by in its literal sense, then we move to the majaz. Okay. We call that figurative. Some people call it figurative. I think that might be a better expression than to use metaphorical. Let's just use figurative. Cancel out metaphorical. Let's see how you come with that definition. Okay. Now, that's the first thing. It's rather straightforward. Now, the other thing you need to know is that you can't have, according to the Ahnaf, a haqiqa and a majaz in one word. So you can't have haqiqa and majaz in one word. Okay. So either when a word is used, it will be either literal or it will be figurative. Okay. And even when it is used, there'll be one that's intended. Okay. So it might appear to be true literally and figuratively, but only one is truly intended in that particular instance. Okay. Other schools have differences on this, but I'm not going to go into that. So let's just start off with a really simple example, just to get us really understanding this. You can see my daughter's been drawing cats. So let's take example number one. Let's just call it number one for now. So there's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if someone wants the reference, I can send that to them afterwards, but I'm not spending too much time showing you the reference because that's not what we're doing here. We're trying to understand how to do usul al-fiqh. So there's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but essentially he says, do not trade. Now listen to this. One dirham for two dirham. Straightforward, nothing complicated. Do not trade one dirham for two dirham. And then he says something very interesting. No one sa'a for two sa'a. Right. This hadith sounds very, very straightforward. Nothing really difficult there at this moment in time. So, what are we to do here? Let's look at his word here. This is what I really want to focus on. The literal meaning, so let's take haqiqa as a ha. So I'm going to use ha for haqiqa. The literal meaning, the Arabic word for sa'a has a literal meaning, which is a container which has something roughly of 2.6 kilograms, cubic measure of 2.6 kilograms. But it also has a majazi meaning, if you like, which basically mean contents of such a container. So it's not specific, it's not scientific. So in this case, we have a specific measurement and we have a majazi meaning, a figurative meaning, which means the contents of a container, basically. So which one do we take? Well, when you read the debate, they basically prefer this one. There's a unanimous agreement that the meaning in this hadith is that don't trade. So imagine this is a container. The contents of that container, what is one for contents two containers. Okay. That it's not the literal meaning we're taking, the haqiqa meaning we're taking, the figurative meaning. So in other words, you cannot exchange the contents of one sa'a here for the contents of two measures of sa'a. That's what it's saying. Okay. So it's perfectly acceptable to trade one sa'a container itself for two containers, in other words. Sorry, I explained that wrong. Let me just go back again. So because we've taken the figurative meaning here of sa'a in the hadith, the literal meaning, the haqiqa meaning can't be used. We have to use this particular figurative meaning, the majazi meaning. Okay. So the hadith basically is saying that you can't exchange the contents of one sa'a for the contents of two measures sa'a. It's perfectly acceptable to trade one sa'a container itself for two containers. So you can do that. Because you can't have haqiqa and majaz at the same time. That's what it's saying. Just another example. So number two, these are just simple examples just to really get us thinking about this. So let's use another example, number two. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, in verse number six, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, there's a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمْ. So there's a word in Arabic in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Imagine, أَوْ لَامَسْتُمْ النِّسَاءَ. Okay. And this word basically is مُلَامَسَة. مُلَامَسَة. Now this word مُلَامَسَة has a حَقِيقِي meaning, a literal meaning and a majazi meaning. The haqiqi meaning means contact. means contact, make contact with something, i.e. the bare skin. So basically, this is talking about touching the opposite gender in particular. Okay. And then majazi meaning means sexual intimacy. Different meanings. Okay. And when you think of touching, what meaning comes to you? Now, there is an agreement between the Hanafis and the Shafi'is that here we take the majazi meaning. So, what does that mean? Well, if a man wants to touch his wife, there's no need for tahara, no need for purity. Okay. Rather, purity is only required when there's sexual intimacy, because you can't have both at the same time. You have to pick one. Very, very easy, very, very straightforward. Let's pick another one. So, example number three. And the reason we do this is you get so many examples, you just start getting the idea. And then what the author will then do, or what the teacher will then do, is they will show you more complicated examples or more controversial examples, just to kind of get you to think a little bit more. So we've established that you can't have the haqiqi, you can't have the literal, and you can't have the figurative in one place. So there's this interesting scenario from one of the students of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Muhammad, rahmatullahi. So he's given a verdict, and it's to do with bequests. Just show you examples. Okay. And the particular example is this. That if somebody, this person here, he's never been a slave himself, and he was to make a bequest in favor of his slave. So he has a slave here. He says, I'm going to give him something, right? In favor of a slave who had also freed other slaves, saying that I bequest to my mawali. So my mawali. We talked about this word before. So, if one, having never been a slave himself, was to request in favor of his slaves who had also freed other slaves. So, he has a slave and then he's freed other slaves. Let's just say that's free, for example. Okay. So, if he makes a bequest to his mawali, this man makes a bequest to his mawali, does it go to him or does it go to all of them below him? Okay. And this all comes down to haqiqa and majaz. Because when you say the word mawali, the haqiqa, there's a haqiqa for that meaning and there's a majaz for that meaning. Okay. The haqiqa meaning, so the haqiqa meaning, and you have a majaz meaning. So when you use it for freed slaves, it has a haqiqa, is haqiqa. And when a meaning is used for majaz, it would include those who are indirectly freed, so these people here. Whereas haqiqa will only apply to the one that he has freed. And because we take the haqiqa meaning, yeah, and we can't combine that with a majazi meaning, there's no way we can, you can't like, you can't say, well, they'll inherit and they will inherit. You can't really, you can't get a situation where you can apply both meanings. If you choose one or the other. Okay. So haqiqa meaning will take precedence. In this case, because you can't merge it with the majaz in one word, only one meaning is taken. So only this particular slave who's been freed will be the benefactor, will be entitled to the bequest. Simple, nothing difficult there. Let's take another example. Hopefully we'll be able to get into some detail, inshallah. So, example number four. In a book called As-Siyar al-Kabir, this is just for your reference, really. As-Siyar al-Kabir, there's a mention that if someone from the Ahlul Harb basically means people who are basically from non-Muslim lands. In those days, they used to divide between Darul Islam and Darul Harb. Non-Muslim. So non-Muslim from a non-Muslim land, if you like. Okay. They come along to your land, so they come to your land, they leave their land, so imagine that's their land, and they come to your country, Islam. Islamic, for example. And this would often happen, just like we travel between countries today. And they say, we want protection, right? Give me some protection. I've come here to do some business. I've come as a non-Muslim in your land. They will usually pay like a tax to come into your country. And in return for that tax, they would be given granted protection so they could do business or whatever else they need to do. Right, I'm back to floor on my iPad. I need to move. Just give me a second, please. Okay, I do apologize for that. So they make travel to our land they say, give me some protection. And they say, well, when you give me protection, being say includes the Aba. Aba, say, oh, well, give me some protection and give it to my Aba as well, father. For me, and my father, for example. Okay. So when you're given this protection, who does it include? Okay. So he is the person who's come. Say it was this person that came and this is his father. But does it extend to his grandfather? So the father, the grandfather, and the person himself. The Jews say no. It only extends to the father. So these two here. Because Aba has a haqiqi meaning, and it's used also in a majazi meaning, which means ancestors. We've preferred, we've taken the choice to use the haqiqi meaning. Okay? And the same would apply, say somebody said ummahat, it won't include the grandmothers. So it's all about how the word is used. Very, very easy, very, very straightforward. Nothing difficult, I hope there. Let's take another example. I think this is example number five. This idea again, he wants to show to us that the haqiqi and majazi manner cannot meaning cannot be combined. So, for example, okay, let's use the example of the virgin daughters. So, virgin daughters, word for them in Arabic is abkar, mentioned in the Quran. Abkar. Okay, virgin daughters. So, if someone wants to make a bequest, this person here wants to make a bequest for his virgin daughter. Okay, a virgin daughter, abkar. It won't include those who have lost their virginity out of wedlock. So, say this is the abkar here. They will not include anyone. So he has, see, he has another daughter. See, he has another daughter, but that daughter is she's lost her virginity out of wedlock. It won't include it. Include this one, but it won't include this one. For example, if somebody said to the effect that, you know, one third of my wealth after my death goes to the virgin daughters, yeah, this won't include this daughter here, but include this one. Why? Because according to Imam Abu Hanifa, the word abkar, when it's used in the haqiqa meaning, refers to this one, literally unmarried virgins. And it has a majazi meaning for those who have lost their virginity with or without marriage. So they might be daughters who've lost their virginity outside of marriage, not entitled here. Because literal virgins are unanimously included of God in this request. So the other meaning is abandoned. Very, very easy, nothing difficult. Let me give you some more examples and then we move on to some interesting ones. So, example number six. If someone had, if someone wants to, again, if someone wants to make a request. What's happening somebody wants to make a request. And in that bequest, they said abna of someone. Right? And the person has sons and grandsons. The bequest will be for the sons and not for the paternal grandsons. Somebody says, you know, when I die, give it to my sons. Say there's two sons, for example. But then they all have their own grandsons. It will only include these. Because when you say abna, the hakiki meaning is sons, while the majazi meaning is paternal grandsons. Okay, so that's very, very clear. I'll give you another example here. So this is an interesting one. Say someone made a vow. Now you see here that all these usul are taken from furu, like particular masail, to just get you used to thinking when you're doing masail, to get you used to thinking about them. So, say somebody makes a vow, and he says he's not going to make nikah with a particular woman. So he says no nikah with a particular woman, right? And that woman is not his wife at the time. It will mean that he will not be party to a marriage contract with that particular woman. He's made a vow. So because the word nikah has a hakiki meaning and a majazi meaning. The hakiki meaning is sexual intercourse. And the majazi meaning is marriage contract. When he said he's not going to marry a particular woman, we have to decide, are we taking the hakiki meaning or are we taking the majazi meaning? And because we've said that we take it as the majazi meaning, as a vow is concerned with the marriage contract and that he will not be party to it, the hakiki meaning is abandoned. We won't take that one. Okay. So, you know, Allah protect us. But if he was to go and commit zina with that woman, he won't have violated his vow because we don't understand it as a intercourse. We understand it as a marriage. All right. So that's just another example for you. Now we get into some interesting things. I've just given lots and lots of examples. We don't need to worry about them too much. So let's think about some examples. And these are three examples that show three particular objections. Now the whole point of all of this, of course, is to really get you to think deeply about how majazi and hakika meaning happen. The reason these three objections come up here is that we can't have hakiki and majaz at the same time. Remember that. That's not allowed. You have to pick one. So what happens here is that he shows examples where it looks as though there's a combination going on, and therefore an objection might arise, and then he shows us a way out. So let me pick up scenario A. Say someone makes a vow, and someone said that they're not going to set foot in the house of X person. Okay, so they said, I'm not going to set foot in the house of them. And Imam Abu Hanifa says, Allah be pleased with him, that the vow is broken. Okay, if he enters barefooted, shoes, whatever way he enters, shoes, whatever way he enters, vow broken. Objection is that it should not be the case because the w meaning set foot are only literally set foot literally means barefooted, right? It should mean barefooted. So when he enters with feet on or on a ride or on an animal or something, this is not literally on the foot. So the hakiki meaning is this one, but there are these majazi meanings which are called meme here, right? So why have you said that if he says that he won't set foot in the house of so and so, and then Imam Abu Hanifa says, well, if he comes in barefooted with shoes on or on a ride, his vow broken? Because what you've done is you've combined, can you see you've combined hakiki and majazi together? You said in both cases, you've merged them. Hope you can see the objection that someone might have. So we have to deal with this particular objection. So how do we make sense of this? Okay, so when someone says that they won't set foot in the house or so and so, that's not taken literal, right? So it's not hakiki. Let me take you through this argument, because the majazi meaning. Let me draw a house here just to help us. So the majazi meaning is to set of set foot is to so it has a figurative meaning, which is to enter. You can see where this is going. So we're taking the majazi meaning. Okay. So in this case, when someone says that if they set foot in the house or so on, they're not going to set foot in the house of so and so, it literally means they're not going to enter the house of so and so. So we don't take the literal meaning, but we take the majazi meaning. So if someone was to utter the words of his vow, and then they only stand outside of the house, and they simply place their foot, I can't draw a foot, inside the house, the vow is not broken. So this they kind of put their foot inside because we're not taking the hakiki meaning. Okay? Because the figurative meaning means to enter. Okay? We take the majaz. So what the person in effect is saying is he's not going to enter the house of so and so. When he says this, it means enter, the majazi meaning. Okay. If he enters barefooted, whether on a mount or whatever, in all cases, his vow is broken, as long as he enters the house, as long as he acts upon the majazi meaning. So it's not broken because we're combining the hakiki and majazi meaning. It's because the majazi meaning of entrance is found. Hope that's clear. What the author is doing here is trying to really get you think deeply about what's going on. Let me give you a second objection. So let's call it B. Really, if we had time, what I would do is I would in a classroom, give the examples to the students and get the students to debate them. But we don't have time to do that. The second objection is another vowel. So as you can see, a lot of these vowels are coming. And somebody says they're not going to reside in the house of X person. Okay. Now, they say that this person is liable, his vow is broken, if he enters the owned residence of that person. So either his house that he owns, whether enters his house that he rents, or whatever else, or he's rented out, whatever else it may be, whatever synonym. Yeah. But the literal meaning, the hakiki meaning of so on, it means the property owned by that person. He's not going to enter the house of X, i.e. the property owned by that person, by X. Let's put X here. Okay. So and so these sort of properties, like the rented property, are not his property. So by saying that he breaks his vow, in all cases, you merge haqiqa and majaz in one sentence. Does that make sense? I'll just explain that again. So if someone wants to vow that they're not going to enter, they're not going to live, sorry, reside, live in the house of person X, the person will be liable. They have broken a vow if he enters the own residence of that person, his rented accommodation, or even his borrowed residence. So whichever one he enters, right? Whichever one he, so he's, he has out, he rents out, whatever, whatever it may be. But the literal meaning is the one that's owned by the person. So what you've done is you've combined the hakiki, and these are all majazi meanings. These are not his property. But by saying that he's broken his vow, you've combined the haqiqi and majaz. So how do we make sense of that one? So let's go to the explanation. When you say house of so-and-so, you take the majazi meaning, the figurative. Okay. And it's, the house of so-and-so is majaz for the actual residence of so-and-so. Whether that individual is the property owner, a tenant, or borrowing kind. Now, obviously, there's been a dispute between these two people. So what he's effectively said is he's not going to be in the same house as X. That's the majazi meaning. So if this happened to be in the same house, so if this person X and the one who's made a vow, that's what's going on. That's what we're actually saying. So in other words, if you want to look another way, he's basically saying he's vowed to stay away from X. So if that person happened to be in a property that he if so and so lived in a property he owned and the vowing individual stayed there too, they would be liable. It's not because it's owned by so and so, it's because this person who's made the vow is in the same house as him. They're residing in the same house. So even if he was in, say, for example, you know, let's take example, he owned this house and person X was here and he was here, he's not broken his vows, even though he's residing in the house of X. Can you see? Person who's made a vow. Yeah, so that's what he's saying. Nice little examples, tidy little examples. So let's do one more on this one, just to kind of really drill the point home, inshallah. So example C, fair example. Actually, in the interest of time, we'll move on, and anyone can ask me questions if they want to. I don't want to kind of labor the point, but you get what I'm saying here. So let's just move on, because there are more examples I can give, but let's move on to this. Okay, I want to touch on one more thing, inshallah ta'ala, and then we might call it a day. Let's see how much time we have. I don't want to rush this with the after you said. Now, I think by now we know what haqiqah means. You've talked about haqiqah as the literal meaning, and you contrasted it with majaz, and we stick. We have to choose one, and when we do that, we follow the rulings of that one. Okay. Now, after that basic introduction, I want to explain that there are actually three types of haqiqah. They're fascinating. One is called impractical, for want of a better phrase, which is called mutaazzira. And it means that it's just basically unrealistic. Not impossible, but unrealistic. So, for example, let me give you an example. If I say, I will not eat this tree, I will not, someone said, I will not eat from this tree, right? If somebody says that, the literal meaning is that he won't eat a chunk of the tree. Now, someone can't bite a tree, it's possible, but it's achievable, but it's kind of like really bizarre. So it's what, that's why we call it mutaazzira, impractical, not impossible but unrealistic. The second one is mahjura, disused. We just don't use that literal meaning anymore. It's still possible that that meaning exists, but it's no longer in use. When someone says, for example, I will not set foot in his house, the example that we gave before, it's possible that someone might just put their feet in the house without entering the body in the building. But this is not, clearly, this is not what's meant. Okay, so that's that one. Number three, I'm not going to give the example of that because I've already done it. I'm not going to write that down. And the next one is the one that's is obviously the one that's in use, mustamala. So it's common, commonly used by people. A lot, as you can see in fiqh, a lot of it comes down to how words are used by people. Okay, so the ruling for haqiqa, that's mutaazira and haqiqa mahjura. So this one, these two here. Okay. Is that what you do is you move to the majaz. Okay. So this is how you would do it. So if you find a word, I will not eat from this tree, for example, in this particular example here, then you move to the majazi meaning, which means that he's not going to eat a fruit from the tree. Or if you find an example of the example that we discussed before, that I will not set foot in the house because that's mahjura, it's not used, we will go to the majazi meaning. Okay, so this is showing you. Right? Somebody says, for example, I will not eat this dish. Clearly, they're not going to eat the dish, right? As another example. When someone might bite a tree, someone might bite a dish, but of course, that's impractical. Say, for example, somebody said, I'm not going to drink from the well. The literal meaning would be to scoop water out of the well using a tool over his hands. Now, he would have broken the vow if he were to do either of these things. The literal meaning of like going into a well and suspending yourself down with a rope or something, some device, some sort of contraption, and then going to the surface of the water is impractical. So what we mean from that is a majazi meaning to take water from it some other way. Okay. So that's that one. Just to talk about Mahjura. So this one here. So I've given lots of examples, but let me just give you an example of Mahjura. When someone says they're not going to set foot in the house, like I said, it doesn't, it's possible that person might just put their right foot or left foot in the house, but what we really mean is they won't enter the house. We're talking about enter here. So we go to the majazi meaning, like we gave an example before. Okay. The third type is the mustamala. This is when a word is used in its commonly used by people or its designated meaning. What it literally means. Okay. I'm just going to show you the debate and then inshallah we'll maybe next lesson we'll go into it in more detail. I'll just highlight it now. So Hakika Mustamala is the one that we're really interested in. Mustamala. Mustamala. So this is when a word is used in its designated meaning. Now there's two possibilities. It's possible that there is also a figurative meaning, a majazi meaning, which is also used. You might have a situation where a word, we'll give an example, but that's used. Well, or there is no majaz, no meaning, no majaz. Okay. Now, of course, if there's no majaz, you just stick to the you just stick to the hakiki meaning. But what do you do in this scenario? What do you do in this scenario where you have a hakiki meaning, which is used by people, but there is also, if I put an ad here, there is also a majazi meaning. What do you do in that scenario? So what happens here is you have a difference of opinion between the imams. So you have Imam Abu Hanifa on one side, denoted by AH, And then you have his two famous students, the Sahibain, on the other side, Imam Yus Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad. So they have a difference of opinion when you have a scenario where a word has a hakiki meaning, but there's also a majazi meaning that's been used, a figurative meaning. Imam Abu Hanifa says, you still prefer hakiki. Okay. While the students, they actually have a different opinion, and they what they say is you use what's called umum al-majaz basically umum al-majaz sorry basically means that you use a meaning which is common to both hakiki and majaz. Remember, you have to go through this scenario. Right, so it's not like an automatic hakiki majaz. You pick one, but what if you have a scenario where a word can be used in literal meaning and a figurative meaning? Because for Abu Hanifa, the majaz is just a replacement. So if you just remember the word replacement. Mean, you already have a hakiki, why do you need to go to a majazi? Which makes sense. If it's a literal meaning, then why do you need to jump to a majazi meaning? The Sahibain, theirs is a little bit more interesting. They say that words are used to give meaning, and because you have both hakiki and majazi here, they are both relevant. Anyway, you've got to consider it because they're both relevant. Okay. And so what you do is you try and combine the hakiki and majaz. Meme has ended up being a P. But that's what it is. And then that's a debate. I'll give you one example, inshallah, Dalal, and then we'll maybe continue next week. So let me give you one example, just to kind of flesh this out. So at least that way, next week is a bit more easy for you. So, example A. Bismillah. So, say for example, and we're talking about hakiki mustamala, remember. When you have a hakiki and a majaz meaning. Okay. So for example, you have this word al-hintah. Hintah. Okay. Hinta basically means wheat. This example. So if someone said, let's go back to an example of vows. Someone makes a vow, I will not eat this wheat. Okay. Focus on the word wheat. Now, remember Imam Abu Hanifa's position. So let's look at Imam Abu Hanifa's position. Imam Abu Hanifa says, so his conclusion would be, according to him, it means the grains of the wheat as they are. Like as they are. Okay. So if you were to say, if you were to roast them or to toast them, his vow would be broken. But if he was to then grind it into flour and make into chapati of that wheat, the vow would not be broken. So for example, if he gets the wheat, usually what happens? Let me see. As they are. That's what I always say. So if he was to, like I said, if he was to eat them raw, toasted, or something like this, but as they are, right? Eating them as they are. That's the essential point, right? Then his vow is broken. So vow broken. Say he was to change it. He made it into flour or change it into chapati. Not broken. Vow is not broken then. According to Imam Abu Hanifa. Because according to Abu Hanifa, people eat raw wheat or even prepare it as it is. And this would be al-hakik of his vow. I will not eat vow. But people also grind wheat into flour and consume it as bread. This is the majazi meaning. So hakiki and majazi. Okay. But this is majaz for the word wheat because we have given the product a new name. We call it chapati or bread or something else, right? So now we call it, because we've called it bread or chapati, it's not wheat anymore, right? His vow is not broken. Can you see? Because for him, as it is. And because we take the hakiki meaning, his vow will be broken. So if he says, I will not eat this wheat, then Abu Hanifa, you take it as it is, because you stick to, when you have a hakiki and majazi meaning, you stick the hakiki meaning. The hakiki meaning is that you're just going to eat wheat. You're not going to eat wheat. But once you cooked it or you grinded it or whatever else, it's changed its name and it's no longer, for him, it's no longer the hakiki. It's changed to something else. So your vow is not broken in that case. This is what Imam Abu Hanifa would say. This is what we just determined before. The Sahibin on this side, so I'll just put Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad, they would say that a vow mentions wheat, which is consumed haqiqatan and majazan. Right? It has haqiqi and majazi meaning. So what we do is because when you wheat is understood as haqiqatan and majazan, in other words, both sorry, both these ways in haqiqi majaz, according to them, we take a meaning that includes them. So what do they say? Well, anything that contains wheat. You see what's going on here. Anything that contains wheat. That's what they say. So you can see like a difference of opinion. You can see how we move from haqiqi, majaz, literal, figurative. We can't use both. We can't use both at the same time. You have to use one. But what if you get a situation where you do have haqiqi meaning and a majazi meaning, which is in use? What do you do? So Imam Abu Hanifa says, well, you stick with the haqiqi meaning, the literal meaning, and because it's seen as a replacement. Okay. There's no need to replace anything. The Sahibain, they say no. You can, as long as you can make a meaning out of them, then you can, the vow, then it's valid. I'll give you one more example. I know I said I was going to end, but this is such good fun. I'll give you one more example and then we'll stop, inshallah. Very nice example, simple example. This is just, get to think about it. Just say someone, for example, makes a promise. So this is, again, the interplay. If someone says, I won't drink. For those of you from London, I do apologize. I won't drink from the Thames River. Not that you want to, but just say someone says that. Okay. They make a vow, basically. Make a vow. Won't drink from the Thames River. So they've mentioned it. The lit. What's happened here? My app is not behaving very well. Okay. Haqiqi meaning, the literal meaning, is that I won't step into the place of M's and drink from it. And this is what most people understand, right? People go to the river, and they drink from it. So, people go to the river, see the river. People step into it and drink from it. Yeah, this is the hakiki meaning. This is the literal meaning. And people use this, right? And the umul majaz would be, like the general meaning, the sahibin would say, is that I won't drink from the water. So somebody takes it out in a cup. Gives it to him in a cup, for example. That could become both meanings. You could have a hakiki meaning and a majazi meaning, and you can combine them by right? Drinking, literally going into a river and drinking from it, or someone bringing it to you in a bottle. So, according to Imam Abu Hanifa, then, as you can now understand, he would say hakika is still in use, so it will only break when he actually goes into a river and drinks directly from it. But not from the cup. The Sahibain Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad, because you can take this umum majaz meaning, right? Because they're both in use, you will use umum majaz. What will that mean? He will break the vow by drinking, so directly from the river, by scooping the water in his hands in a cup or by any other means, basically. Okay, that's all it is. That's all you need to know. Hakika Majaz. There's a few more other things which I will, inshallah ta'ala, just introduce next week, because there's a nice little debate, and then we'll move on to the next video. Does anyone have any questions? No questions. Alhamdulillah. I hope you find this useful. A lot of people do struggle with this, and I'm hoping that I'm able to break it down for you and just to make it easy for you to understand, inshallah ta'ala. There's no questions. I will see you all next week. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.